All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Memtet Amud Bet. The Mishnah just defined for us that the Chamesh Slayim Shel Ben is the Manet Suri. It has to do with the Manet, which usually means 100, the dinarim of Tsuri. What exactly that means, we discussed yesterday. The Rambam says it has to do with the quality of the metal, that in Tsur, the coins had very high levels of quality of silver. And so that's what the Gemara is after here. You have to use high quality, high silver coins. On the other hand, there are others that believe that it just means that you use the coinage of Tsur. Or others still say that when you are breaking down the coinage into what we're looking for, you should define it by that of Tsur. The question is, why? Why would you do that? Or what is the Mishnah after? And then the Gemara is going to discuss it, and what exactly is the Gemara discussing? So I mentioned this many years ago when we did Perek HaZahav and Baba Metzia, which is that whenever you deal with exchange rates, currencies, or when you want to know what is the money and what is the object that you're purchasing, it's very hard to know, because whenever you have an exchange rate, it's a measure of a relative difference between the two items. So for instance, if you're speaking about the dollar and the shekel, if you tell me that the dollar gives you 3.6 shekel, or you could do it the other way around and say the shekel gives me 0.275 or something like that dollars, which one is the static and which one is the one that you're converting into? It's not clear that either one of them has an absolute value. Their values always are determined relative to each other. So at one point in time where there was a gold standard, it made it a little easier because then technically gold was the static value. And then the currencies were all determined on how much gold was the currency worth, or what was the relationship between the currency and gold. And that would give you then a static demarcation of value. But it, still, even in that situation, the gold doesn't really have a static value. It has a value based on the currency that you're looking at it in. So that always presents a problem, which is, what is the static currency, or what is the static value, and that you're comparing that to. And the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to be dealing with that as well, when it's dealing with all the exchange rates and the different rates of different coins, one to the other. And certain of them, they keep static, and others, they move around. And the question is, how do you know what has static value, what remains the same, and which one moves? And I think that's a problem in general in Shas. And it's clear here that this Mishnah might be trying to deal with that issue, which is, if I tell you you have to pay Kamisha Shkolim L'Pidyon HaBen, what does that mean? What shekel are we speaking about? What value are we speaking about? And how do I measure that value? Even if you tell me that they're coins of Kodesh, what were their size? And then again, what's their value in the terms of what we're dealing with today? And so that is exactly what the Mishnah is trying to deal with. What is the value of Pidyon HaBen and many other items in the Torah that we need to deal with? How do we set the value? How do we determine the value? The Mishnah says that we're going to use Manet Tsori. Tsori is Tyre. Tyre was known for its minting of coins. It had a minting operation that ran independent of any politics, any rulership, and it minted its own coins that were accepted basically worldwide, and that time means in the area of the Mediterranean. And again, the reason being is because the silver there had very high quality silver content in their coins, the highest anywhere, and because the fact that they were static. They were always around, they were always minted in the same way, and they always carried the same value. So that Manet Tsuri becomes this static value that the Chachamim are looking for in order to determine what it is that we are supposed to be paying in each of these situations. So much so that we're going to see in a second that maybe even the shekel of Kodesh is equal to the shekel of Tzori, or the Sela of Tzori, which means that they see that as being equivalent value, or exactly what the Torah had in mind when it said these items. So that's a very strong statement with regards to the coinage of Tyre. But it would make sense in the context of the Mishnah, in the context of the Tanaim, because that was something that remained static, was always there throughout the period of Tanaim, and never changed. Didn't matter who the emperor was, didn't matter if it was the Greeks, the Romans, didn't matter who it was, there was always these coins, and they were always the same value. Again, their relative value to other coins would change depending on the quality of the metal, and the ups and downs of the currencies of the kings, the rulers, and the empire that was in force at that time. Problem that comes up is that near the time of the Churban HaBayit, right prior to the Churban HaBayit, Nero decides to shut down the operations in Tyre. And then there are no longer any more minted Tyre coins. They do remain in circulation probably for another 100, 200 years because they were really good silver coins. They don't go bad. And they remain in use for a little time after that. By the time you get to the Gemara, the coins of Tyre are no longer relevant coins. And now the Gemara is faced with an issue is, what does that mean when you're speaking about coins of Tyre? And then Nero himself took over those minting places in Tyre and then has them start minting coins for the Roman coins or the coins of the kings at that time. So there is some new coinage that is being minted, which seemingly at the same quality or level of what was done in Tyre prior to that point, but now becomes much more political and much more connected to the ruling individual, both the Caesar as well as the country that he's from, because we find many times, the Gemara discusses that they have coins in circulation, and when the new Caesar comes, the new conqueror comes, they say that the old coinage is no longer available or has any value. So these are issues that I think the Gemara is dealing with, and that leads to a machloket amongst the Rishonim as to what exactly the Gemara is doing over here. Major machloket between Rashi and the Balei HaTosafot as to what's happening. The Balei HaTosafot and Tosafot take up basically the idea that I'm expressing here, which is that the Gemara is trying to translate the coinage, currency that is mentioned by the Mishnah into the local currency. And all the dayot that we're going to find in the Gemara are just giving you the translation, the FX rate, the foreign currency rate, to determine what the coinage is in these different locations compared to what is mentioned in the Mishnah. On the other hand, Rashi says that these Amoraim are actually arguing about what the value is of that which is mentioned in the Mishnah. They're actually arguing about what the underlying value is, and so it's a much more fundamental machloket. It's not just trying to give you a foreign currency rate, it's trying to tell you what is the value that the Mishnah indicates. Yes, I'm doing it in the local coinage, but I'm doing it in a way that says that this is the value of the Manetsuri, and that value would be differentiated between these opinions. And there should be different opinions as what you need to give for Pidyon HaBen based on that. So that's just in a big picture sense. Now we'll begin the Gemara. The Gemara says, Manetsuri, or it's really Manetsuri, that is mentioned in our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Asi, Mane Shotsuri. That's interesting. When he just repeats what is said in the Mishnah. So Rashi claims that means, Hayotze v'medidat tzori, dasela dal zuzim. So Rashi says, Rashi claims over here that what Rabbi Yassi is doing is saying that when the Mishnah says manetzori, it means the coinage, the currency of tzor. So even though Rabbi Yassi is living much later or at a different time, he's either saying that the coinage of tzor that we see today, which I don't know what type of coinage there was out of tzor at that time, is equivalent to the manetzor that is mentioned in the Mishnah. That's how Rashi is saying it. Tosafot is bothered by that. Sounds like Rashi has some sort of Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, that when we're speaking about here, the coinage, we're speaking about a dinar of kesef, and he's saying that the dinar kesef of tzor are equal to the sela or the zuzim that we have today, the dinar kesef with today. Mashma lomar, the zuzu, dinar shel kesef. He's trying to say that the zuz that we use today is equal to a dinar of kesef, umishkalo, and its weight is like that of gold. And he says the same thing in the Chumash, in Parshat Elu Mishpatim, that giving the weight of whatever this item is. And then the Tosafot writes, Avalonir le Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Midukamar dinar shel shehav, mistaklei kishnaim shel kesef. Because you can't measure kesef, silver, in gold. Because gold and silver coinage were very different. And therefore the Balei HaTosafot believe that the dinarim, or anything we're speaking about here, are dinarei zahav, and gold coins. And the next Amud, Tosafot's going to say, or Rabbeinu Tam's going to claim, that the gold coins are twice the size or twice the thickness of silver coins, and therefore you can't measure silver coins in gold or in gold coins. Because if you measure them in gold coins, they're not of equal weight. So you can't just say, well, this is a dinar kesef, and therefore you take one pashut of zahav and you weigh them against each other and you'll get the same thing. Zahav has a thicker content in its coinage, and therefore it's going to skew whatever translation rate that you're going to get. Rashi over here, both in the Rashi, the way Tosfos quotes him, which is different, it's more like what he says in Chumash, and the Rabbeinu Gershom brings a similar Misora, and you can see that in the Rabbeinu Gershom as well. Rashi gives you the weight, or the actual measurement in his time, of what a dinar was worth. And Rashi says, in Avodah Zarah, he says there, Vasela Dala Dinarim, Vadinar Umishkal Zahub. A dinar is equivalent to gold or gold coin of Constantina, of Constantine, probably the Byzantium Empire at the time, is equal to one of their gold coins. And then Rashi, also a number of places in Shas, mentions that. And then in Shmot, he mentions that, HaMishkal Mishkalo Arba Zehuvim, that is equal to four Zehuvim, Shem Chatzi Unkia. The Mishkal Yashar Shel Kolonia, which is equal to the half coin of a unkia in the weight of Kolonia, his local area in Cologne. And he gives a number of these throughout Shas and throughout the Chumash. And the Ramban in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Gimel and Shmot, takes Rashi to task on that weight. And he brings the quotations from Rashi all over Shas. Says, Veinu Kein, Ki Malchei HaGoyim Patchtu HaZehuvim, because the Goyim depreciated the value of their gold coins. They reduced the size of their gold coins. Kedinar niska b'chomakom b'tamud, hu dinar shandag. Based on the riff, he brings that as the weight. That makes that the gold coins in the shas are much bigger than the gold coins that we have today. Karov l'shlish ha-shekel, closer to one-third of a shekel. Ba-shekel shlosha rivi'ei unkia, or unkia, and a shekel is equal to 3/4 of an unkia, the mishkal shel eretz hazot, based on our weights over here. V'hu unkia shizkira Rav Zal. And that's the unkia that Rashi is measuring over here. So Rashi says that the shekel is worth 4 zuhuvim, which is a half unkia. And the Ramban says a shekel should really be 3/4 of an unkia, not a half unkia. V'ta kishiklea Torah yimaslaim. That's another thing that Ramban mentions, and we've mentioned a number of times, that shekel shel kodesh is equal to the sela of the Mishnah, whereas the shekel of the Mishnah is really half a sela, or half the shekel ha-kodesh. What's very interesting about this, and why I'm bringing it, is because when the Ramban travels to Eretz Yisrael and lands in the port of Akko, he finds a coin that is the coin that supposedly was used in the time of the Mikdash, which was used for the Machatzita Shekel. And he says, the Kutim that are there at the port, and they're giving me these coins, and the one side says Shekel on it, and the other side has a picture of Yerushalayim, and it has a picture of Maklosel Aron, Shkeda Uparchea, the almonds and the flowers, Batsura Shinit, and the other side has a picture of Tzinsenet Aman. He says, and I weighed it, this coin that they're showing me, and would you believe it? It weighs a chatzi unkia, like Rashi says. The Ramban, after arguing vehemently against Rashi's position, gets to Akko and finds the fact that the coins weigh exactly what Rashi says. He says, "Binei nistayu divrei Rabbeinu Shloma siua gadol." Says that Rashi gets a lot of weight from this. It's amazing. Rashi was never in Eretz Yisrael, never saw these coins. He gives a lot of credit to Rashi, and he says basically that Rashi is right. It's an amazing Ramban from the perspective of he argues against Rashi on a logical basis, but then when he gets to Eretz Yisrael and comes to Akko, he sees the facts on the ground, and it's exactly what Rashi says. So the Tosfos over here is also bothered by Rashi's explaining that Zahav and Kesef have a certain equality, and they disagree, and they believe that a Dinar Zahav is different than a Dinar Kesef, or Zahav and Kesef have a distinction, and therefore you can't measure Kesef in Zahav. And then in addition to that, what they're going to say here all the way along is that everything here is measured in zahav. Everything is in gold, and we're translating the gold into silver. Rashi in some places is going to say it's a gold coin, and some places is going to say it's silver coins. Tosfos says throughout that it's a dinar shel zahav. So that's the first statement is Manetsuri, Amrabasi, Maneshel Tsuri. Rashi says that means that the Dinar Kesef of Tsuri equals a Zuz of today. Tosafot says that it's a more generic statement that the Mishnah, when it says Maneshel Tsuri, means that the measurement of coinage or currency should be done in the currencies of Tsuri. And Rabbi Asi here is making a broad statement, a general statement. And then afterwards, all the opinions that come afterwards are discussing what's the value of that which Rabbi Asi says, that the coinage of the currency of Tsuri is the measured currency by which we are determining. Rabbi Ami Amar Dinara Arabo. Or probably in likelihood the way Rashi has it, Tosfot has it, Arabia. We're dealing with the dinar of Arabia or the dinar of the Ishmaelim. Rashi then brings his first interpretation, which is that Sela Tsuri equals a dinar kesef of Arabia of Ishmael. That's Rashi's first interpretation. Tosafot disagrees because, I said before, he believes all these numbers are in Zahav. And therefore he says that this is a dinar Arabia, means a dinar Zahav from Arabia. That's number one. Number two, he argues on Rashi, because Rashi then brings a second interpretation. And in his second interpretation, he says that the dinar of Arabia is a different weight than the dinar of Tsuri. That is, for every 7 dinarim of Tsuri, it's worth 10 dinarim of Arabia. That'll come back to be important in a little bit when we do a calculation, but he's saying that the dinarim of Arabia are smaller than the dinarim of Tsuri, and therefore you need 10 of them to equal 7 of those of Tsuri. So that's the second interpretation Rashi brings. Tosafot argues on both of them and says that Rashi is wrong here, and the dinar of Arabia is a gold dinar of Arabia. It has nothing to do with silver coins, and it is a smaller gold coin than the dinar Zahav of Tsuri. That's all that Tosafot says. Rashi says that the first case that they're equal, that's one opinion he brings. And then he says, Matzati b'tshuvat agonim, that the relationship is 10 to 7, and he was then saying that the silver coins of Arabia are smaller than the silver coins of Tsuri. That's the way Rashi says it. Tosafot argues on both issues. Number one, it's not silver, it's gold. And number two is, they're not equal. This is the gold coin of Arabia, which is smaller than the gold dinar Zahav of Tsuri. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Istara Sarsia, the Mizdavno Tamnayo Bidinoro. Rashi explains over here, Istara Susrita means Laim Yushanim. These are bad quality or low quality or aged coins of Slaim. If you look in the Shita Mikubetzet, Otvav, he quotes Rashi as saying more than that. And Tosafot seems to have the same girsa in Rashi, which is, Shehu Dinar Medina. It's equal to the coinage of the countries at that time. Sheish Minit Bidinar Tsuri. It is worth 1/8 of the coinage of Tsur. The Tsur's coinage was 8 times the value of Dinar Medina. Or this is found throughout Shas, that there are 2 types of currency that's going around. There's the currency of Tsur, which we know again was this kind of static value, high quality silver currency that was minted. That currency has a value. The currency that was in use at the time, Medina, probably means the Roman currency at the time, was worth 1/8 the coins. If you had a coin with the same name, it was worth 1/8 of that which was of Tsuri. So Rashi claims that over here, the Istara Sarsia is Mizdavna Tamnaya Medinora, 8 to 1, which is that you get 8 of the Medina ones for 1 dinar Kesef of Tsuri. And that's what he says is the dinar that we're speaking about. And therefore, this is going to have impact on what you think the value of how much you have to give for Pidyon HaBen. So in the first case, I'm doing this for Rashi. For Tosafot, the differential is not going to be at all. Rashi says that the Gemara was going to tell us that a Sela is worth 4 dinarei kesef. A dinar Zahav equals 25 dinarei kesef. And therefore a Sela which has 4 dinarei kesef in it is 4/25 of a dinar Zahav. Pidyon HaBen equals 5 Sela. 5 Sela of Tsuri. So 5 times 4/5 of a dinar Zahav is equal to 20 dinarei kesef. That's basically what it equals. The money of Tsur, you would have to have 20 dinarei kesef of Tsur in order to pay off the Pidyon HaBen, the 5 Sela of Pidyon HaBen. Then Tosafot says about the Arabian Dinar Zahav, that the Arabian Dinar Zahav was smaller. It didn't give you 25 dinar kesef. It only gave you 20 dinar kesef. And that means that in order to pay your pidyon haben, you would just pay 1 dinar zahav of Arabia, as opposed to Tzori, where you'd pay 4/5 of a dinar zahav to get to the 20 dinar kesef to be yotze pidyon haben. By the dinar zahav of Arabia, you pay a full one, because it was worth 20 dinar kesef. Rashi over there explains, and that we'll get to in a second, that the Arabian dinar zahav, we said again, the translation rate was 7 to 10, and that gives you a much smaller number then than you were going to get if you had to do it based on the Tzori. In Tzori, it was 20 dinar kesef to pay off your pidyon haben. With the Arabian coins, you would need 28 4/7 of a dinar kesef of Arabia to pay off pidyon haben. So for Rashi, they're arguing, according to the first opinion of Rabbi Asi, that it's about manatsuri, you need 20 dinar kesef. According to the view here, the amount that you need is 28 4/7 of dinar kesef Arabia, and that's the amount. Then we come to this Sarita coin. Rashi says that it's 1/8 of the value of a Tzori coin, which means that instead of paying 20 dinar kesef of Tzori, you're going to have to pay 2.5 dinar kesef in Tzori in order to be yotze for pidyon haben. Because an istara is equal to 1/8 of a sela Tzori, which is the equivalent of a half a dinar of Tzori. Because if there are 4 dinar in a sela, then an 1/8 of that would mean that a half a dinar is what the value of a sela medina. And then if you take 5 times the sela medina, then you're going to end up with 2.5 kesef of dinar a Tzori. That half dinar times 5 is 2.5. Tosafot throws up his hands and says, how could it be that the opinions are so far off? You have an opinion saying you need 20 dinar kesef of Tzori, and now you have Rabbi Chanina saying that you have 2.5 dinar kesef Tzori. So Rashi, in the version of the Shita Mekubetin, and Tosafot quotes something similar, says, Rabbi Chanina, Tanuhu Vupoli. He's a Tana, and he argues. He disagrees. He says that it's not that value. So that's Rashi's view over here, that it's 2.5 dinar kesef. Tosafot, similar to Shita before, says we're talking about a dinar zahav, first of all, and this dinar zahav is big. So Zoraita is not that it is dinar medina or sela medina. It's speaking about those of Surya, the dinar zahav of Surya, and they were bigger than the ones of the Shas. You'd actually get 32 dinar kesef. Or in essence, what it's saying here is that the istara is equal to 1/8 of a dinar zahav Surya, and that is equal to 4 dinar kesef of Tzuri. Chamesh minar the pidyon haben, 5 of them equal pidyon haben. If I take that and I multiply it by 5, means that 5/8 of a dinar zahav Surya is going to be equivalent to 20 dinar kesef, which is the amount that you need for pidyon haben. That means that the dinar zahav of Surya, or Surya, according to Tosafot, is 32 dinar kesef. And that means Tosafot basically has 3 dinar zahav. You have the dinar zahav of Tzori, worth 25 dinar kesef. You have the dinar zahav of Arabia, that's only worth 20 dinar kesef. It's a smaller dinar zahav. And then you have the dinar zahav of Surya, which is bigger, that's worth 32 dinar kesef. And all they're trying to do here is express the value of 20 dinar kesef Tzori, which is the value of pidyon haben, in these different coins. And that means for the Arabian coin, you need just 1 dinar zahav, because that's equal to 20 dinar kesef, according to Tosafot. For a Syrian gold coin, you need 5/8 of a coin in order to be yotze pidyon haben. But they're all equal to 20 dinar kesef. That's what you're trying to get, and that's what's being explained here. According to Rashi, they're actually arguing about the underlying value of what you need to give in order to be yotze pidyon haben. So one of them is 20 dinar kesef at Tzori. The other one is the Arabian values. And then Sursita is 2.5 dinar kesef Tzori. I mean, that's a significant difference in price. Yochanan Amar, dinara, hydrina, tyrina, shaifa. The mizdabdin be'esrin v'chamisha zuze. That is equivalent to 25 zuz. Rashi over here says that these are different coins. Dinar, hadrina, is the Hadrianic coins. Tyrina are the Trajan coins. He's saying these are different coins of the Roman emperors. Shaifa. Shaifa, Rashi says, Shema Melech, although the Rashash and others over here say it doesn't mean that Shema Melech means Shaifa means worn down. So the name of the king is erased or worn down. So that's the type of coin that we're speaking about. One of these Hadrian or Trajan coins, now those are the emperors post the Churban, so they're no longer these Tsori coins, they've been shut down a lot earlier. And these coins are now the extant currency. And he's basically saying that these coins, Rabbi Yochanan, are equal to 25 zuzei, or 25 dinarei kesef, which is the equivalent to the 25 dinarei kesef of Tsori. And therefore now, in order to do pidyon haben, you need 20 of them. So how do I get from the coinage that you're speaking about to the number I want? Tosafot brings to the Beinu Tam that he thinks that that's incorrect, because the Gemara is going to in a second say that there's some correlation or connection between this and the coinage of Yerushalayim. And the coinage of Yerushalayim didn't have pictures of the Roman emperors on it, but rather had pictures of David and Shlomo on one side and Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh on the other side. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam explains over here that Hadrina means circular, Toraina means big, and Shaifa means worn down, that the tzura is worn down. And therefore, he reads this as being, these are big, circular, worn down coins that are selling or have a value that's equivalent to 25 dinarei kesef. Then, zuze, dalminayu shtuta. If you take a sixth off of it, hanach le pinyon haben. That would be the equivalent of pinyon haben. The only problem is if you take 1/6 off of 25 dinarei kesef, or in essence you multiply it by 5/6, you get 20 and 5/6. 20 and 5/6 is not what we're looking for. We're looking for 20 dinarei kesef. And therefore it doesn't make sense. That's what the Gemara says. Hani esrim v'chad nachidanka. That's 21 minus a sixth. A danka is a ma'ah. A ma'ah is 1/6 of a dinar. If you do that math, I'm going to end up with 20 and 5/6, or 21 minus a sixth. That's not what you're looking for. Ela dal shtuta vezuza. Take off a shtut and a zuz on top of that. Take off a sixth and another zuz on top of that. Bahanach the pidyon haben, and that's for pidyon haben. Well, you do the math. If 1/6 off, or 5/6 times 25 gets you 20 and 5/6, taking off one zuz gets you to 19 and 5/6. That's what Gemara says. Akati etzrim nachidan kavo. That's 20 minus a sixth, or 19 and 5/6. That's not the number you're looking for. Ela dal zuza minus one zuz ushtuta, and then take off a sixth. Find you the pidyon haben. That would be for the pidyon haben, which means that if you start out with 25 dinarei kesef being the value of these coins, these golden coins, then if you take off one zuz, you're down to 24. 5/6 of 24 is 20. And that's the number that we're looking for. Now, the easier way to do this would be to simply say, multiply it by 4/5. If you multiply by 4/5, 25, you end up with 20. And that would have solved your problem over here, made the math easy. So why is the Gemara doing it in this way, which is take off a zuz and then multiply by 5/6? Why don't they just simply say 4/5? That is based on the Baal HaYad Tosafot over here. The Baal HaYad Tosafot over here, the Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by this throughout Shas, which is that the dinar zahav is yielding 25 dinarei kesef, which means that the ratio between gold and silver is 25 to 1. And the Rabbeinu Tam says we've never heard of anything like that. In our time, the gold ratios are basically between 10 and 12 to 1. So how is it possible that in the time of the Gemara, there was such a differential of it being 25 to 1? So I sent out these charts. You can see the historical levels of the relationship between gold and silver. And the Rabbeinu Tam is right, that the relationship is pretty static, around 10 to 12 times. And in the time of the Rabbeinu Tam, that's exactly what it was like. It was about 12 times. Time of the Gemara, they're talking about a ratio of 25 to 1, and the Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by that. Just for the sake of comparison, the number today is somewhere between 75 and 80 times the value of gold to silver, but he was right, it was very static for a long time at 10 to 12. It moved up to the 20 range at a certain point, and then in the time of post the gold standard and post 1972, the rates have shot up to be between 40 and 80 times is the relationship. But he's bothered by the fact that Gemara has a different relation. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a chiddush that the gold coin is twice as thick as the silver coin. The real relationship is 12 to 1. And that relationship is then doubled because their gold coins were twice as thick as their silver coins. So if you get a gold coin, it's the same shape as the silver coin, but twice as thick. So it's really two gold coins that you're translating into silver. So the real translation rate is 12 to 1. And then when you multiply by 2, you get 24 to 1. Only problem is, it's 25 to 1 and not 24 to 1. So that the Rabbeinu Tam solves by saying that the extra zuz is the amount that you pay for the exchange rate. And the Gemara talks about this in a number of places. The Mishnayot and the Shkalim speak about this, that when you went to the money exchanger, you had to pay a kulbon or putrot. You had to pay a little amount to exchange the coins. So that's the extra coin. The 25 dinari kesef is because if you take a gold coin, you need to pay 24, and one of them is given to the money changer in that value for the exchange. That's why the Gemara expresses it this way. The Gemara expresses it not as 4/5, but rather subtract the zuz, and then multiply it by 5/6. Because that one zuz is not part of the underlying value of the dinar zahav. It's a part of the exchange cost of exchanging it between a dinar zahav and a dinar kesef. So that's not part of the underlying value. So take that zuz out, you're left with 24. Now with 24, bring it down to 20, you multiply it by 5/6, you'll get to the number that we're looking for. That's why the Gemara expressed it that way, rather than just saying that it's 4/5 of 25, which would have been the easier way to do it. But that way, Rabbeinu Tam has this big chiddush about the relationship of Zahav and Kesef. Therefore, he says that the Dinarei Zahav all over Shas are twice the thickness of the Dinarei Kesef, and that's what they results in this differential. Now the Gemara adds something in, which is important because it influences Rashi's view, and this is where the Balei Tosfot disagree. And he says here, V'hanach l'pidyon ben. That's what we use for finding a ben. Davalu. And they are equal to Esrin matkale, b'matkale dinara d'inun, Esrin b'tanya zuze, upalga, upalga d'danko. So it's equal to 20 zuzim, which is equal to 28 dinarim, or 28 zuz, and a half zuz, and a sixth of a zuz. Or in essence, it's 28 and a half plus a sixth, or it's equal to 28 and 7/12. Now, Tosafot back on the Amud Bet and Bemtet says the following. V'doma perish shel ge'onim. He says, I think this wine in the Gemara was added in by the ge'onim. Sheperishu chamesh shleim shel ben lefi matbeya shem yemehem. They're explaining what's the value of the pidyon ben in our time. The Gaonim live in the Arabian countries, or they live under the Persian rule, and they're trying to explain the value of pidyon ben in their currency. And that's what that number is. He says this is an addition of the Gaonim that tells you in our currency, it's 28 and 7/12 of the coins that we have today is equal to the 20 dinarei kesef of the Gemara. That's how Tosafot reads it, and that's because Tosafot believes that nobody argues over here. Everybody believes that the value is 20 dinari kesef. The only question is, what is it in your currency? And that's what he says over here. He thinks that's what the Gaonim are doing over here. They added it in to get the value in their currency. The other hand, Rashi, back on the Amud Bet, and then over here as well, goes through the calculation to come up with the translation based on the Gaonim's ratio. Remember, the Gaonim's ratio was 10 to 7. 7 silver coins of Tzori are equal to 10 silver coins of Arabia. And so now if you do the math, 10 over 7 is the translation rate, and we wanted 20. So then it's 20 times 1 and 3 sevenths. And so if you do that, you come up with 28 and 7 twelfths, or close to it, because if you multiply it out, you take 20 times 10 sevenths, you get 28 and 4 sevenths, and that's the value that you would come up with. Rashi has to do a little rounding because he comes up with a number that's off by a little bit, but the way that Rashi does multiplication, he can't deal with that, so he just rounds it up. And therefore he gets to 28 and 7/12 instead of 28 and 4/7. But that's the number in the translation. Rashi says that's what was meant by Arabia before, when it says, Rabbi Yami Amar Dinar Arava. We're dealing with the Dinar of Arabia. And the relationship with the dinar of Arabia and the dinar of the Tzori is that it's 20 dinari kesef in tzor are equal to 28 and 4/7 of the dinar of Arabia. Now, maybe even according to Rashi, that means that you would use not 28 and 4/7, you would use 20 dinari kesef of Arabia, which would then be a shortfall versus the coins of Tzori. Or if he's saying that it's equal, then you would give 28 and 4/7 of the Arabian coins to get to the 20 dinari kesef. But that's how Rashi explains the dinar Arabia before, whereas the Balei Tosafot explained that it was a dinar Zahav of Arabia that was equal to 20 dinari kesef. But Rashi explained it as being this number that we came up here with the Gemara, and he relies on this Gemara to then explain what dinar of Arabia was before. I put out in the sheets the way that Rashi does the calculation, and he gets there. I'm not going to spend the time on it now because it's some difficult math, and I don't know if it yields much more than what we already said in terms of the finality of the numbers. All right, now the Gemara says, Amarova, Silim Doraita, the Sela of the Torah, Tlata Vetiltavi, is 3 1/3. So that's different than what we've been saying until now, because we've been saying until now the Sela Doraita is 4 dinare tzuri. All of a sudden he's saying that the Sela Doraita is 3 1/3 dinare tzuri. So that's different than what we've been saying, Dichtiv. And I'll show you that's the case. Because it says in the Torah, the shekel is equal to esrim geira, a shekel. Umitargamina, in Anuklas, when he translates it, it says, esrim ma'in. That is 20 ma'a. So he says the geira of the Torah is equal to the ma'a of Tzori in our time. The Tanya, shesh ma'a kesef dinar, and that's the translation. There's 6 ma'a in a dinar. So if you take 20 ma'ot divided by 6, you get 3 1/3. That means that 3 1/3 dinarim, which will produce 20 ma'ot, are equal to the shekel of Kodesh. That's his proof. Meitavei. Is that really true? Alo sela shel Kodesh. When it comes to the sela of Kodesh, arba'im u'shmona pundion. It's worth 48 pundion. Pundion ze mativo. That extra pundion, what is its value? Kilbon the prutrot. That's this kilbon we spoke about before, the translation or the breakdown of the coins. That is what it's speaking about. Now, here, you have a veiled reference to an issue that will come up in the Masechta that we're about to do, which is that in the end of Sefer Vayikra, when it speaks about being Makdish, Estei Achuza. If you are Makdish, Estei Achuza to Hekdesh, when you redeem it from Hekdesh, you redeem it at 50 shekel per core. That's, of course, the size of the land, the area that you're redeeming. For every core, you pay 50 shekel. But that is 50 shekel if you did it at the beginning of the Yovel. For every year of the Yovel, we have to subtract out 1 year's value, and then you pay that value. The only problem is there are only 49 years in the Yovel. I mean, there's 49 years, the 50th year is already the Yovel. So that means you pay 50 shekel over 49 years. How do I divide that up? So the Gemara says that each year is worth a shekel and a pundion. One shekel and one pundion. For 49 years, that gets you 49 shekel and 49 pundion. There are 48 pundion in a shekel. That means that you have one pundion left over because you have 49 pundion. So that's what the Gemara says over here. What's the tivo of that extra pundion? That's for they paying the currency exchange that you pay them that one pundion. So in essence, you pay shekel and pundion per year to net you a total amount of 49 shekel plus 49 pundion, which is really 50 shekel and a pundion. So every year, you subtract the shekel and pundion, and that's the amount that you're going to give to redeem your land from Hekdesh. Now, that's important because the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that a dinar is equal to 6 ma'a, and a ma'a is equal to 2 pundion. That means that a dinar is equal to 12 pundion. And since the sela is 4 dinar, that means the sela is equal to 48 pundion. So then you see that the sela doraita, if it equals 48 pundion, is equal to 4 dinar. If you did 3 1/3 dinar, you would not come up with the sela equaling 48 pundion. Because of the translation rate between 2 pundion to a ma'a and 6 ma'a to a dinar, a sela, which is 4 dinar. So sela times 4 is 4 dinar, times 6 ma'a is 24, times 2 pundion per mana is 48. That's exactly what the Mishnah said. 48 pundion to a sela. That means a sela equals 4 dinar and not 3 1/3 dinar. So Rava, where are you coming up with this number? Batar dosipa iluvayu. That's after they added on to it. The Tanya, we have a brayta. Esrim geira shekel. L'man dosha shekel to esrim geira. We see that it's worth 20 geira. Uminayin shim ratzalo sif yosif. How do I know if you want to expand the value of the shekel, you can do so? Tamalomar, yeah, it will be. Yoko yifchot. Maybe you want to reduce the value. Tamalomar, who? It says over there that it has to be that value, and therefore you can't reduce it. So now you have here a what's called a permission slip to increase the value of the currency or of the coinage. What is meant by this is not clear at all, but this means that the Beitin has permission to do such, or if the emperor or the people in power at that time increase it or increased it. It's not clear from Rava's statement as to whether the differential was caused by the Sanhedrin changing the value, or is it caused by the emperor changing the value? Now, either way, what's being said here is that if you increase the value, we're okay with that. If you decrease the value, we're not okay with that. Now, that could be for two reasons. It could be either because we don't want people to get confused, and if you increase the value, they won't get confused because you're only going in one direction, not decreasing the value. Whereas, if you think it is a halakhic statement, then it's saying that the Torah is okay with you paying 5 shekel out of the new currency because it was raised in value. They're not okay if you pay 5 shekel out of the reduced value because that's going to be below the Torah's value. Or in essence, what it's saying is you have to match or be above the Torah's value. As long as that's the case, then you pay 5 shekel in the going currency. Even though the going currency now is worth more than the shekel at Torah, still you're going to pay it in that currency because of the fact that it's above the Torah's value, and we're okay with that. So that is a big nafkamina between how you read this. Do you read this as meaning that you pay 5 sela in the going currency as long as that 5 sela is above the value of what the Torah's sela was, and that's okay? Or if they increase the value of the coinage, we're okay with that, but you still only have to pay b'chor based on the original 5 sela value, and now you have to determine what is the value today versus, or the relationship between the value today and the value before. So that's maybe what Rav was doing. Rav was saying it's 3 1/3 dinar. That's under the new currency regime. 3 1/3 dinar gets you to 20 dinar a ketzef. So maybe that's what you have to pay. Or do we go back to the new regime and say there's 4 dinar a ketzef? 4 dinar a ketzef in a sela, now you're going to pay 5 sela. So you're going to pay 5 times 4 is 20 dinar a ketzef of the new currency, which is going to be bigger. It's going to be 24 rather than 20 dinar kesef of the old currency. So that's the question. Do you pay 20 or do you pay 24? That will depend on how you explain what Rava is saying over here. It might be the machloket upcoming in the Gemara here about what needs to be done. But now we can explain Rava's 3 1/3. Rava's 3 1/3 comes from the change in the currency value, which is that if you increase the currency from being 20 dinar kesef to a sela, to 25 dinarim kesef to a sela, then in the old currency, the dinarim, you only need 3 1/3 dinarim of the new currency to get to the old currency's value. Because 4 dinarim today, if you use that as the currency, then 5 sela is going to equal 20 dinarim kesef, which is equal to 24 of the old currency. So now, if I wanted to get to 20 of the old currency, I just multiply it by 5/6. So if I take the dinar a kesef and multiply it by 5/6, so 20 times 5 is 100, divided by 6 is 16 2/3. If the new currency is really equal to 1/6 over the old currency, or in essence, it's 1/6 more of the old currency, 6 over 5 times 20, which is the new currency regime, because remember, we're increasing by 1/5, not by 1/6. So 6 over 5 times 20 is 24 ma'in. And if I take that 6/5 and I multiply 3 1/3 by 6/5, I end up with 4 dinar a tsuri. Or that's exactly what he's saying. I'm giving you the value in the new currency for the old currency regime. You take 3 1/3 of the new dinarim, you would end up with 4 dinarim of the old currency, which is what you were looking for. But now we have an interesting story. Rav Ashi Shadalei Shitzar Zuzei. The Rav Acha Brei de Ravina. Rav Ashi sent 17 zuz to Rav Acha Brei de Ravina, who was a Kohen, the Pidjon Aben. Shalach le, when Ravashi sent it to him, Lishta li mar tilta terta. Diga leveyu. I paid you too much. I'm supposed to send you 16 2/3. And I sent you 17. Refund me a third. This is based on Rabba's calculation. Rabba's calculation is 3 1/3. 5 times 3 1/3 is 15 5/3, or 16 2/3. So he's saying, based on that, you owe me a third back. Shalach le. So Rav Acha Beit Ravina says, Lishter le mi mar tzlat achrina, do sifu li avayu. What do you mean? You underpaid me. You're supposed to pay me 20 dinari kesef. You paid me 17 instead. You better send me the extra 3 that you need to add on top of them to get to the number, because they increased the value of the dinarim. It could be that's exactly what their machloket is, what we discussed before. Are you paying in the old currency, or are you paying in the new currency? According to Rashi, he's paying in the old currency, the 20 dinari kesef and sori. Therefore, according to Rabba, in the new dinarim, it's 3 1/3. 5 times 3 1/3 is 16 2/3, and he's paying him in the old currency value. Rav Acha Brei the Ravina is saying back to him, pay me in the new currency. And their machloket might be, when you add on or you increase the value of the coin, what does that mean? Does that mean now you've increased the value of the coin and the new regime governs with regards to 5 stelah as long as it's bigger than the one of the Torah? Or does it mean that you're allowed to increase it, but you still pay based on the old value? Now, many of the Rishonim point out that they think that Rav Ashi only thinks that by Pidyon HaBen it's that way. By other items that are compensation or penalties or Mekach HaMemkar, he definitely agrees you go by the new regime. So the question of Pidyon HaBen, which has a fixed value in the Torah, that fixed value, should it stay fixed at the Torah's value, and therefore I should only pay 16 2/3 of the new dinarim? Or does it now move up to the new currency regime and you pay 5 of the new dinarim, even though that's really equal to more than the value of the Torah required? Nevertheless, now that the currency regime moved up, the Torah acknowledges that when you move it up, that's the new value. Even though the Torah said less, as long as you are above the Torah value, we're okay with that. Pay 5 of the going currency value today of the Pidyon HaBen. I think that roughly a sela of tzuri is equal to about 19.2 grams. You need 5 of those. That is about 96 grams. And that's the equivalent of around $50, or about 180 shekel in terms of value. And they have minted sets, actually, in Eretz Israel. You can look online for them, where the Israeli Mint in 1975 put out 5 coins that you can use for Pidyon HaBen, where they use 90% pure silver in the coins, very high silver content, and they have about 26 grams of silver in each coin. So that would exceed the 19 that we spoke about here, and their current value is around 330 shekel to purchase. So that would also exceed the value of what we mentioned before of 180 shekel. And that's what people would use, or quantum use, in order to do the Pidyon HaBen. Again, some people are makbid to use silver coins. That might relate to what the Rambam says, that manetsuri, the tsurian coins or the tire coins, were very high quality silver. And therefore, we want to simulate that by using coins of very high quality silver. So that might be why some people are makbid to get silver, and not just silver dollars, but get the ones that were minted when they were still using real silver, high levels of silver in the coin. All right, now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chinina, kol kesef amur b'Torah. Anytime it says kesef in the Torah, stam, that is a sela. Stam in the Nevi'im, that's litrin. The Ketuvim, and that in the Ketuvim is kinterin. Chutz mikaspo shel Ephron. With the exception of the kesef in the transaction between Abraham and Ephron for Marat HaMachpelah. So what Rashi says over here, based on this, is anytime it uses the word shekel in the Torah, it means a sela of kesef. When it speaks stam shekel in the Nevi'im, it's speaking about litrin or litra, which is a measurement that we see all over Shas. It was a volumetric measurement. And the litrin are 25 sela in every shekel. And the stam shekel, the Tuvim, is kantarin, which comes to the word cent in Roman or in Greek, which means 100, which is a very big coin, as Rashi notes over here, that it's mea slaim b'chol shekel. They have 100 sela in every shekel based on that. So these are much bigger coins, which is that in the Torah, stam shekel is a sela. In the Nevi'im, the stam shekel or kesef is 25 sela. And the Ketuvim, it's 100 sela. There are those, like the Marsha, that point out that's just not true. You look in the Nevi'im, there are many places where the shekel is equal to the shekel of the Torah, and it's not the numbers that are being given here. So some want to say that the word kol only modifies the Torah, not the other places. The Nevi'im, it's some like this, some like that. Or there are others suggest that when the Gemara here says Nevi'im, means in places where we don't know what is being spoken about, it's not clear what is being said, in those places it's a litra or it's a kantar. But not that that's the stomp everywhere, that it's that way. Even though it's written in the Torah stomp, it's really kinterin. It's worth 100 times what a sela kesef would have been worth. Tichtiv. Arba me'ot shekel kesef, over la socher. And v'ikta, the duchta, and there are places, the karikari, the kintura, tikla. And there's some places in the world where their sela is a kantar. They call their kantar a sela, and that's worth 100 times the slayim of Tzor. And therefore, Avram paid Ephron in monies, over la socher, that were accepted in any country. They were accepted everywhere. So he has to give him something that's worth a sela in every country. Others say it comes from the word kesef malay. He gave him full kesef, meaning the highest coinage there was. And therefore he had to give him the money in kantarim, which means it's 100 times the value you would have assumed that Avram paid. Amar Rabbi Shaya, bikshu lignoz kol kesef v'zahav shebo'olam. They wanted to put into gneiza all the silver and the gold of the world. Because of the silver and gold of Yerushalayim that was captured. Until they found a pasuk in the Torah that said it's mutar. It's really a pasuk in Yechezkel, which is shnemar uba uba pritzim v'chilua, that the strangers, the parutzim, came in and they profaned it. And from that, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah learns that once the Goyim entered into the Mikdash and took over the Kesef, Zahav, the Kelim, they automatically profaned it, and it no longer has a din of Hekdesh, and therefore we don't have to worry about Hekdesh issues. So now, it sounds from here, and this is what Rashi says, that the Kesef and Yozav of Yerushalayim was the money that was in the treasuries of the Mikdash, and those monies are Asur the Zarim, and what we're worried about is that if they use those monies, then we're being Moel and Hekdesh. And that's the issue over here. The Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, says that the majority of currency found in Yerushalayim was currency of Hekdesh, because people were bringing up their Meiser Sheni and Hekdesh money to Yerushalayim. It's not about the treasuries of the Mikdash, but rather about the monies found in Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. Gemara asks, why would you even think to do that? Yerushalayim havia ruba d'alma? Was Yerushalayim the robe of the world? Even if they did take the coins and they were Hekdesh, it got mixed in or mixed up with the other metals that came from all over the world. And then it would be not the robe, but a minority. And therefore, why should we worry about that? Because call the parish, mirubaka parish. El Amar Abaye, bikshu lignoz dinara hadrina tyrina shaifa. They wanted to put the Hadrianic and Trajan coins into Geniza because of Tiv'asha Yerushalayim. Because those coins were minted out of the coinage of Yerushalayim. Ad shematzula mikra min haTorah shumutar. Till they found the pasuk in the Torah, meaning in Yechezkel, that was matirit, shnemar uvalba pritzim v'chilulua. The pritzim came in and they profaned it. So now this really opens up a new window into this, because this can't be about the Churban HaBayit. You're speaking about Trajan and Hadrian, you're speaking about in the times of Merit of Bar Kokhba, not in the times of the Churban HaBayit. It's 70 to 100 years later. So then they're not speaking about the gold and silver of Yerushalayim. So what is actually known is that, first of all, in the Bar Kokhba rebellion, they started to mint coins in Yerushalayim. That's number one. Number two is that they actually collected a machatzita shekel because they began to restart the avodah in the Mikdash. There is some evidence of the fact that they were trying to or did start the avodah, and they thought this was going to be the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi. That's why when Hadrian comes to put down Merit Bar Kokhba, he actually plows over and wipes out the Mikdash completely so that there's no remnant of the Mikdash that they could come back to restart the avodah. So what might be spoken about here are the monies that they collected for the Machatzit Shekel to restart and rebuild the Mikdash. All those monies were in Yerushalayim. They are then captured by Hadrian and Trajan,
and sent off to Tsur to be minted into Hadrianic coins and Trajan coins. That's why they were worried about it, because those coins, which were the coins that were extant in Yerushalayim, the going currency of the time, they thought in all likelihood those coins came from the monies that were collected in Yerushalayim, and it was monies of Kodesh. The coins that we have here were clearly minted out of the gold of Yerushalayim, and therefore would have been problematic, and therefore they say we need the pasuk. Once they took possession of the coins, they were profaned, and they no longer have hektesh associated with them, and therefore the coinage that's being used in Yerushalayim today, we can use. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Kol kesef amur b'Torah, stam. Anytime it says kesef in the Torah, stam, kesef tzori. Mishel divrehem, kesef medina. And if it's kesef in the Mishnah, it is kesef medina. We already saw that the relationship between kesef medina and kesef tzori is 1/8. That means anytime you're speaking about kesef of the Mishnah, it's 1/8 of the kesef of the Torah. That's all when it's stumped. If it specifies, then whatever is specified is specified. Whatever it says in the Torah, shekel, a shekel is equal to a selah tzori. That's which is the equivalent of arba dinarei kesef. And anytime it doesn't say shekel in the Torah, then the kesef stam in the Torah is a dinar. So Rashi tells you, if it's a shekel or shekel kesef, that's a selah of tzori. If it just says kesef without a shekel, then it's a dinar kesef. That's Rashi's view over here. Rashi in the Gemara in Kedushin explains this a little differently than he explains over here. And Tosafot already knows that, notes the fact that there are alternate explanations, and Rashi b'shem rabotav is explaining it in the name of his rebbeim over here, which is that its smallest coinage of Tyre was a dinar. So Rashi in Kedushin explains that the meaning of kol kesef b'Torah, stam kesef tzori, comes to teach you that anytime the word kesef in the Torah is mentioned, it means currency or coinage of tzuri. Doesn't define what it is, doesn't define what it's speaking about. It's just saying to you that it's not some minimal amount of kesef, it's speaking about the currencies of tzuri. There in Kiddushin, Rashi brings from his rebbeim, the kesef stam the Torah is the minimal or the smallest coin that is found in Tzor, which is a dinar. And Rashi over here sounds exactly like his rebbeim in Kiddushin, which is that the word kesef stam in the Torah means dinar, as opposed to the other view in Kiddushin where he says whenever it says shekel, it means shekel shel tzori. Kesef just means that it has to be any coin of tzor. It just can't be a stam amount of kesef. So the difference between them is whether there's a smaller coin than a dinar. The Balei HaTosfot over here, the Rishonim in Kiddushin, take the Rebbeim of Rashi to task over the fact that they say that the smallest coin in the Torah is going to be a dinar, because we just said over here that it says Esrim Geirah, that there's 20 Geirah in a shekel, so it seems the Torah already acknowledges that there is a Ma'ah, because we saw Uncle has translated Geirah into Ma'ah. Tosfot over here tries to come up with a defense against that claim by saying that it doesn't really mean in the Torah when it says Kesef, the Geirah is a coin that's equal to a Ma'ah, just Unculus in his time says that the Geirah, whatever that Geirah was, which was a silver value or coin, that item is worth a Ma'ah. And then according to Rashi's explanation, the only thing that really would be excluded is a Pruta, because a Pruta is made out of Nechoshet, and in Tzor, or in Tyre, they only minted silver coins. They didn't mint copper coins. That's what's being said over here, that silver coins are the only type of coins that we're speaking about. We're not speaking of anything that's not a silver coin. And that has major nafkaminot with regards to the next Gemara and the Girsa in the next Gemara. So this Gemara says, V'klolohu, is that really a principle? V'are ta'ana dichtiv. When it comes to making a claim where there's motive in miksat, it says, Kitene ish areu kesef o kelim lishmoer. And there it says, with regards to a shvua modem miksat there, but it's not. Over there, the Tana is two kesef. Over there, in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel discuss whether it's the Tana or it's the response to the Tana, whether it's the actual claim or it is the motive and mitzvah part of it has to be shtei ma'ah. So according to the Rebbeim of Rashi, the question here is why are we talking about ma'ot
and not talking about dinarim. And how do I know we're speaking about ma'ot? It's because the Tanah, shtei kesef, is formulated in the female, shtei, which is a reference to ma'ot, because had it been referencing to dinarim, it would have said shnei. And that's the issue over here. According to Rashi's interpretation, that it has to be a silver coin, but there's no minimum amount, it just has to be a silver coin. The question of the Gemara over here is, why are you saying shtei, that you have to have two coins? Why don't you say that it's kesef? Kesef means a single coin, and that should be sufficient over here. Shani otam, dichtiv, kesef okelim. Over there it says kesef okelim. Ma kelim shnayim, av kesef shnayim. Just like kelim is plural, so two kesef is plural means two. Ma kesef davar chashuv. Just like kesef is something significant, av kelim davar chashuv. So too the kelim have to be a davar chashuv. So according to Rashi in Kiddushin, where he explains that the requirements are whenever it gives a coinage or currency in the Torah, that is in the currency or coinage of Tzori. So that means that if it says shekel, it means a shekel Tzori. In addition, if it just says kesef stam, it means a silver coin, no matter what it is, as long as it's not a copper coin. And the question here is, why are you doing two for the Tanah? If it says kesef in the Torah, which would mean any coin that is silver. So the answer, according to Rashi Shita, why does it say two and not one? That is based on this from the Mishnah Braita in Shvuot that says that makilim shtayim av kesef shtayim. So the reason you have two here is because from the Mishnah Braita in Shvuot that says that makilim shtayim av kesef shtayim. So the reason you have two here is because the kelim is in plural, and the hekesh between the kelim and the kesef teaches you, just like the kelim are two, so too the kesef is two, and that answers the question. Whereas according to the Rebbeim of Rashi, who believe that the question derives from the fact that they believe that the smallest coin in Torah is a dinar. That means that the minimum coin that the Torah would ever speak about when it speaks about stam kesef is a dinar. Then why do we have a situation here where it's spoken about kesef in the Torah, and you're telling me about ma'ot and not dinar? The answer to that question is the same Mishnah Braita, but in Shvuot, Rashi there actually flips the gears of the Braita. It's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot there as to which way is the right way to read the Braita over there. And the Rebbeim of Rashi are actually influential in that because they have the Braita on the opposite direction. Because then it makes sense, according to the question here, as to what the answer of the Gemara is. And the Girsa is, Makelim davar chashuv, av kesef davar chashuv. Just like kelim are considered to be a davar chashuv, so too the kesef has to be a davar chashuv. And according to that Girsa, now we have an answer to our question. Why is it over here that we use a ma'ah and not a dinar? Dinar is the minimum standard of kesef in the Torah. The answer is, the Torah over here, through the Hekesh, told you that the word kesef over here does not mean its standard meaning of a dinar, rather davar chashuv. As long as it's something of significance, that is sufficient in order to be a tana or a modeh b'miktzat. And therefore over here, a ma'ah is considered to be significant or sufficient, and you don't need to get the size of a dinar. And even according to the girsa that we have here, you can learn that just like the kelim are two, so too the kesef is two, and ma kesef davar chashuv, av kelim davar chashuv. The fact that we are magdir, the kesef being something chashuv, and not necessarily being a value of a dinar, shows you that the davar chashuv that we're speaking about over here is not something that indicates full value, because by the mere fact that it says over here, shnayim, that you need two kelim, and so too two kesef, two kelim, it doesn't give any minimum value. It doesn't tell you that there has to be any fixed value to it. And so too by shtei kesef, the same thing would be true. There's no fixed value. There's no minimal value. That means that it could even be a ma'ah and not a dinar. So then you could have thought that if there's no value, you could even use a pruta. That's what the word kesef comes to teach you. It has to be at least a silver coin. It has to have some minimum chashivut, something that is not a pruta. And that's the same is true with regards to the kelim, that it needs some minimum kashibut. Right, so now, the next question. Vari maser, what about the Mishnah Maisur Sheni? Dichtiv tzata kesef biyadecha. So there, when you exchange the Maisur Sheni onto coins,
and bring it on Kesef up to the Mikdash. It's none. And it says over there, a parade sela, Maisu Sheni, that by the way, you break down a sela of Maisu Sheni. So according to the Rambam over here, a parade sela means you're breaking down a sela into prutot. Whereas Rashi says a parade sela means you're aggregating prutot onto a sela. No matter which way you explain it, the question is the same. What are prutot doing over here? Prutot are a coin, a currency of nechoshet, of copper. And if you tell me the word kesef only means silver, how are you transferring kedusha maisu sheni onto something that's copper? The question for Rashi, Shita, in Kiddushin will be, why are you allowed to use copper and not silver? And according to his Ravaim, why are you allowed to use something that's a value of a pruta and not something that is a minimum, a value of a dinar? So that would be the same nature of question according to both of those explanations. Whether you're breaking a silver coin down into copper coins or aggregating copper coins into silver coins, the question is the same. Why are copper coins being allowed to be used here at all? So Mar says, kesef, kesef riba. The word kesef is mentioned twice over there, so there's a riboy to include any coinage. Very hekdesh. Tekhtev natana kesef become low. Says with regards to redeeming hekdesh, you give the kesef and then you can redeem it. So again, there, the minimum redemption amount should either be a ma'a or a dinar, depending on what you think that is. But Mar Shmuel, hekdesh shaveh maneh, shechilolo shaveh pruta mechulal. That if you take hekdesh that's worth 100 zuz, and you exchange it onto one copper coin, it works. So how can that be? How do copper coins enter the fray at all? It should be at minimum a ma'a or a dinar. You can't have copper coins. Mar says, hekdesh nami yoliv kodesh kodesh mimaisu sheni. There's a gezeirah shava of kodesh kodesh between maisu sheni and hekdesh, and from that we learn a number of things, including the fact that whatever the minimum standard is by maisu sheni also applies to hekdesh. And by maisu sheni we said it's a kesef kesef to include any currency that is minted and has a tsura on it. Then you can use it. So too by hekdesh, and that would include even prutot. Vare kedusha isha. What about getting married? That's mean by an ama ivriya. And we learn from there that ein ladona ze kesef, al yesh li adona cher kesef, which means that the master can marry this woman through the kesef that he paid for, kesef of Yehud. Or some others bring the sukim from the Gemara in Kedushin, which it says kikach ishisha. And then kikach, we learn now from stay up front that kesef works for Kedushin. And again there it says kesef. So how is it that Beit Shammai omrim b'dinar u'b'shaved dinar, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, where Beit Shammai says the minimum amount for marriage is a dinar, that works well, but Beit Hillel omrim pruta u'b'shaved pruta. You can use a copper coin, that's the minimum amount. Lema Ravasi damar ke Beit Shammai, you're going to tell me now that Ravasi holds like Beit Shammai, which would be difficult because the halacha is not like Beit Shammai. And he's saying that a dinar is the minimum amount you need for Kiddushin. You have to amend the statement of Ravasi and say this. Some of you know Ravasi. Any time the Torah gives you a fixed amount of coinage, 5 shekel for pidyon ben, that is kesef tsuri. That is done in kesef tsuri. If it generically mentions kesef, that doesn't mean that it's kesef tsuri. And same thing with generic shekel. It only in the case where it specifies the amount, like shloshim shekel of eved, the items that were mentioned are Mishnah, chamishim shekel shel ones umefandeh, 5 shekel of pidyon aben, and 100 of motzi shemra, but not generically, and therefore none of these would be a question, but shel divrayim, kesef medina, my kamash malan, what are you teaching us? Tanina, that's our Mishnah. I just listed you all the items in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah told us that they are all in kesef tsuri. That's what we read. Chamei shleim shel ben v'chulei. V'shel divrayem kesef medina tzri chalei. To tell us that the din of kesef midrabanan is kesef medina, which is 1/8 of kesef tsuri. That's the chiddush. The kesef stam that mentioned in the Mishnah is kesef medina. The tznan is a famous story from Baba Kama. Hatukeya lechaviro. Someone who is tokeya to his friend, notein lo sela, has to pay his sela. Now Rashi here brings 2 possibilities of what tokeya is. One is that he screams in his friend's ear. The other one is that he claps in his friend's ear. Or Rambam brings the possibility that he actually slaps him on the ear, which would be an embarrassing or a denigrating type of slap. For any of these, there's a penalty in the Chachamim. It's a knas that you have to pay a seller. Below teima sella arba zuze. It's not a seller that's worth 4 dinari kesef of tzuri. El apalga de zuze. It's half a zuz. It's 1/8 of that. It's 4 divided by 8. That is a half a zuz of tzuri. The kari inche sella palga de zuze. Because that's the colloquial sella, which is sella medina, equals a half a zuz of tzuri. Hanan Bisha, Hanan the bad one, Takale Lahu Gavra. He did this to some guy, and then after the Kamed Rav Huna, they brought him before Rav Huna to adjudicate the case. Amarle, Havle, Paul de Zuza. You have to give him half a zuz. Zuzum acha bade, the lo nafik. He had a zuz, a full zuz, that nobody would take because it was already old and worn down, and nobody would take it in the market. But he had a zuz, and he only had to pay half a zuz over here, and he couldn't get anybody to exchange it for him because nobody would take the coin. Nafik, taka le'achrina, v'yavei niyale. He went out, he did it again to the guy, and then he gave him the full zuz and says, here you go. That's why he was called Hanan Bisha. All right, we're going to stop over here by the two dots on the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph.